Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, where every week our crew of intrepid dipshits blather on about all manner of gaming topics, as if they actually have something useful to say. Really, it is just the worst when it comes to podcasts, but here's an idea. Turn it into a drinking game. Every time they say something stupid, take a drink. But seriously, don't do that. Your liver will thank you.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back.
I'm Scormus.
And I'm Baelis.
And you know what today is?
Okay, it's
today. It's talk about tabletop role-playing games a day.
Ah. Okay.
Well, it is for me anyway. It's our monthly deconstructing show. I know, it's the one that gets the lowest listenership of the month. But hey, we're going to talk about a really cool game this month.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Actually, one of the best games out there, in my opinion.
Oh, God, yeah. This was your month, so why don't you tell us about your pick?
Okay. Well, the game that I chose is Cyberpunk 2020, specifically the second edition. If you're not familiar with Cyberpunk, hang your head in shame and go stand in the corner.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because Cyberpunk is pretty much an attitude. You know, your character is a trained individual who works in the shadows to do X. It depends upon what kind of character you're playing as to what you're doing, but you have something you're doing in the mean, gritty world. To go along with that, you have cybernetics to enhance your abilities. And the 9 character roles they have in the basic book is rocker boys, which are singers who use their influence as a singer to foment discord, cause revolutions, to let people know about, you know, things that are going on in the world that, you know, they should be upset about. Kind of like Rage Against the Machine.
I was just going to say, Rage Against the Machine are Rocker Boys.
Rocker Boys.
Yes.
Glitter Boys is Rifts.
Yes.
Then there's the Solos, which are, you know, the Soldiers of Fortunes, the Assassins, the, you know, the Soldiers, the Killers, the, you know, that sort of thing. They're just the mercenaries for hire. Then there's the Netrunners, which are the hackers, the ones who directly attack corporations and other, you know, dangerous individuals through technology. They get into their computer systems and they steal information, or they corrupt files, or they erase information to, you know, like if, say, a children's hospital is being bought out because they can't pay their mortgage, they'll go in there and they will erase the mortgage for that hospital, so they no longer owe any money. That kind of thing.
Mm.
Then there's the corporates, which are, on the other side, they're the ones who are trying to take more control, you know, to keep more people under their thumb, to expand the influence of their corporation. And they're fighting against all the other corporations. Then they have the techies, which are, can be like just roving mechanics who follow along with a group of, you know, you're heading with another cyberpunk group, but you're their fixer. You're either a repairman or their doctor or whatever. You're there to keep them patched up or keep their cybernetics working or keep their vehicles working, that sort of thing. Doesn't sound very glorious, but we've had some of our best adventures where everybody were playing techie, and we rode around in an ambulance. And that was, you know, we'd go into combat zones and pull people out because they had, you know, a platinum card. That platinum card guaranteed that somebody would show up, lay down suppressing fire, and their ass would be hauled out of the battle and taken back to a hospital.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the cops, which are cops. The fixers, which are the ones who they have the street connections. They're the ones who get you jobs. They're the ones who can get information. They're the ones who deal with all the vital things that most people don't know how to get their hands on.
ridiculously low life expectancy, though.
Oh, yes. And then there's the, well, there's also the media types, which are, you know, just basically your basic anchorman, except with, you know, the testicles to go out on the street and get the story.
Reporters and such.
Yes. And then, of course, there's the nomads, which are, think Road Warrior. You know, the guys on the motorcycles, the guys who are driving the beat-up vehicles, the mohawks and the feathers everywhere, and the whole, that's the whole attitude of the nomads. They're a cluster of people. That's their family, and their family is everything. So when you piss off a nomad, you're fighting his entire family.
As another example, which might, I think, be a little more fitting, would be Tetsuo's group is a gang mm-hmm. he was a part of in Akira.
Gangs are definitely nomads.
They rode around on motorcycles, and yes, they were mostly in the city of Neo Tokyo, but they had the same style and attitude and whatnot. So they were actually a really good example of a cyberpunk situation, cyberpunk setting with nomads. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, if you want something that's a little easier to, well, I wouldn't say easier to visualize, but I don't know how many of you have ever paid attention to or watched A Clockwork Orange. That right there, that's another type of nomad family.
Just without the motorcycles, but.
Well, yeah.
They would steal cars, but yeah, no, they were a gang of horrible, horrible people. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm not saying they were nice people. Him and his droogies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, moving on. Cyberpunk has one of the, I'd say one of the best fleshed out character creations that you'd see in any game. This is actually one of those games where as you're making your character, you can die.
Oh, yeah. The life path, right?
Oh, yeah. Life path. First, you choose, you know, what kind of, you know, what? How's the cinematic going to be for the story? Are you going to be a major hero, a minor hero, a major supporting character, an average character, that sort of thing? And that's how you get points to start making your characters. Or you could just roll them up and get what you get.
Yeah.
But when you're doing the life path, find that here. I don't want to, you know, like, speak out of turn. you basically choose what family ranking you have, or you can roll randomly. Then you do your parents, and then you roll to see, you know, something happened to your parents. Then you go to your family status, whether it's good or bad, or your environment, then your family tragedies, how many siblings you have. You know, it goes really in depth. But then, you know, there's all these different motivations, and then big problems or big wins that go on through your life. And as you're rolling these things, it's a year passes on each one of these. So if you decide you're going to be, you know, 16 years old when you start, then you get to roll a couple of these. Because I think it starts out at 13 and then you start rolling
for
a year. But it goes in, you know, your friends and enemies and your romantic life. So by the time you're done rolling this up, if you survive the life path, you've got a well-defined structure that you can base your backstory on.
Yep.
Of all these things that has happened to you and how it has shaped who you are today. But then it's, you know, it becomes very similar to other role-playing games. You know, you have your skill checks and you have your combats. And the only downside to Cyberpunk and Shadowrun, for that matter, is that when you've got somebody in doing the hacking part, the rest of the party is idle. And I've always thought that was a really bad situation because it makes it hard to keep the rest of the party engaged while you're doing this with one person.
There are ways around that. But,
I've really seen one that works well.
Well, for Shadowrun's part, there used to be a program you could set the Netrunner, or actually in that case, you know, whatever they were, their, well, you'd set them down at a computer away from the others and have them run, you'd set up the, basically what they're trying to hack into, and it would give them a 3D representation of what they were seeing through their rig, and they could do that. You could use that for Cyberpunk as well, but that's hasn't been developed. God, that was, I last looked at that like almost 20 years ago. So it's, I doubt it runs on Windows 10.
I doubt it.
I think it ran for XP at best, but there was that.
It went that far.
You can also use, basically lay out a predetermined sheet where they have to make their checks, and you'll basically go, okay, if you basically as a, choose your own path sort of thing. If you fail, you get to go to page whatever. If you fail on this check, you go to page whatever. Oh, you've been kicked out of the system. Oh, no. And you run back and tell whatever was said to everybody else. It requires a lot of work on the game master's part, but it can be done. Mm-hmm. If they make all their checks and they make their way over to the end, then boom, they're there. The problem is there's not a lot of role-playing there. They don't get to think outside the box. It's just raw checks. But in those situations where you have to have a Netrunner and there's an active stuff going on for the rest of the group, kind of a problem. The third option is don't allow people to play Netrunners. Have it as an NPC.
I know, but
it kind of takes,
the choice, because I know there's a lot of people who loved playing Netrunners.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that love playing Cyberpunk and Shadowrun and OGL Cyberpunk and all these different Cyberpunk games that love the idea of being a Netrunner. And everyone I had during the games I ran of those types, they may have loved it for the first time or two and then went, this is boring. I only have, I can only do stuff when I'm in the machine. So the rest of the time I'm like, I'm really useless and it sucks. I want to play a solo or I want to play a rocker boy or whatever. So I'd let them reroll because, well, the cyberpunk genre is unique in having this one type of character that separates themselves off. Either everybody is one of them and that's part of the adventure, or one person is and they're separated off by themselves, one or two. And that really, it's detrimental to the party. It's very difficult to role play, that's for sure. To try and, all right, you're running this group over here and keeping them entertained and keeping them feel like they're doing something, while you're dealing with this Netrunner over here, or you're leaving the Netrunner to his own devices, sitting there twiddling his thumbs while you're helping everybody else out. In the end, nobody's happy because the rest of the party's not supposed to know what's going on with the Netrunner. Because unless they're somehow jacked in which case, why aren't they a Netrunner?
Well, no, everybody can jack into the net. It's Netrunners are the ones who can use the menu and... So you can have everybody go in at once, but who's going to protect the party while they're all, you know, basically brainless lumps of meat attached to the machine?
But the point is they don't have the programs to get around the security, to stop the viruses and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
They can jack in and, you know, they can go to AOL as well. It's like the difference between you're on AOL, and that's, if you're old enough to remember when AOL was king, you can dial into AOL, and you can do only what's on AOL, or you have the whole internet before you. That's what a Netrunner had. They didn't just jack into AOL, man. They'd open up their own browser, man, and they would go outside of AOL, and they'd do all the things. While everybody else is like, oh, I'm going to play the card game on AOL, or I'm going to read the news on AOL, the corporate-controlled intraweb.
Mm-hmm.
That's the huge difference. Yeah. Anyway.
You just said when this started that this was a great game, and now we're... tearing it down.
No, we're trashing the genre. This has nothing to do with cyberpunk as a game. Cyberpunk as a game is amazing.
A lot of fun. The vehicle combat was a blast. The adventure that comes with the game, Friday Night Firefight, tons of fun. It's just there's a few issues that I hope that, you know, in later editions, they've actually fixed it.
Yeah, our Talsorian games should be proud of themselves. I count Cyberpunk 2020 among the best designed role-playing games that have ever been made.
Mm-hmm.
Its system, I say this around about very few games, just works.
Yeah.
It is a streamlined, beautiful game. It's easy to find everything. It's got all the information you need for to start things up and just go.
Mm-hmm.
And you got pre-made characters, pre-made corporations. The whole city of Night City is completely, talk about the whole history of it, everything. It's all in here. All the net, they have a special section just for Netrunners.
Yes.
So if you need be, you got that right there. You're good to go. How to, you know, design data fortresses and break into them and whatnot. But it doesn't just leave it to just that. You know, there's trauma teams it talks about. And, of course, you mentioned cyberware, and it is amazing.
One of the things that I was remembering from the games that we played was you usually had two types of personalities. There was the person who was filled with hope. They were going to change the world. They had all these plans. They were going to make a difference. And then you had the cynics. The cynics are the ones who've been there a while. They're like, okay, kid, just don't get yourself killed in the process.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, yeah, Corporation A, they're assholes. They're, you know, they're testing on animals, and they're basically creating their own workforce of slave labor. The cynic's like, yeah, and I'm not part of that slave labor, so fuck it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole, you have to play it to understand it, I guess.
True enough.
Because it's a lot of fun. And then they came out with, you know, a whole lot of, you know, books that come with it. I've got, like I said, I've got the Chromebook 1, the Chromebook 2, which is just increases the amount of cybernetics you can get.
Yeah.
And I've got, you know, if you want to take cyberpunk to space, they've got space stations in deep space. And then they've got, you know, if you want to have, you know, power armors, they've got maximum metal for, and, you know, it's bigger, better weapons, military equipment, etc. to add to your game. And I mean, who really needs jetpacks and power armor and tanks? Everybody.
Oh, man, this shows how old I am. Oh, my God.
Old? I was digging through the book, just reacquainting myself with, you know, what was going on in the book, and I found two Camel Cash. So anybody who smokes will remember the Joe Camel Cash. These are like essence of the green stamps, almost.
Yeah. Well, no, what I mean is, I was just looking. I didn't put money into this game like I did Shadowrun.
Mm-hmm.
I have multiple versions of Shadowrun, multiple supplements, blah blah blah. Right. I got the character screen though. I got the side game Cyber Generation, which is its own little monster. But I have two supplements. I have Solo a Fortune.
Right.
For, you know, as I played a lot of solos.
Right.
And I like Rocker Boys, so I got the Rocker Boys supplement.
Well, you've always been a bard type person.
These are, you know, they're like 80 to 100 page supplements. They're not huge.
No.
Right? Both of them still have their stickers, their price stickers on them. They were $6 a piece.
Yes.
I mean, the list price for Solo a Fortune was $10. So, yeah, it's been a little while since games were that cheap.
Well, the Camel Cash that I was looking at, that was from 97.
Ow. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I still can't find a price, you know, an MSRP on Cyberpunk itself. I can't remember how much I paid for it. Maybe $30 at most. I think it was like $25.
Yeah.
Regardless, that doesn't matter. I was going to say, you talked about Cyberpunk being an attitude right at the start.
Well, that was the whole point of it. It's supposed to be an attitude, not just a game.
Right. Well, I would say anybody that wants to play any Cyberpunk game, whether it's, you know, OGL or Shadowrun, which is kind of an offshoot, or anything like that, you need to have a basis in what Cyberpunk is. And people will say, well, you can watch The Matrix, you can watch Johnny Mnemonic, you can watch all that stuff, you can watch the Mad Max series, which I would disagree with. But there's one thing. One thing will tell you what you need to know about Cyberpunk.
Uh-huh.
Either get the audiobook or just read William Gibson's Neuromancer.
Uh-huh.
Just that one book.
And if you're not willing to read or listen to an audio tape, at least watch, or you could read, well, what it was, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? It became Blade Runner.
Well, yes and no. I think Gibson's Neuromancer does a much better job.
Yes.
Of just extolling the whole neo-noir sort of feel for what they were going for with Cyberpunk 2013 and then the second edition 2020.
Yes, but Akira and Blade Runner and RoboCop and all of those will definitely help give you some idea of what they were looking for.
Yeah, if anything, RoboCop was too bright, shining, and hopeful. No, really.
The guy getting melted by acid?
Yes, that's too hopeful of a future. You know, it was, and we're not talking the remake of RoboCop, because that does not exist in my world. We're talking the original 1980s version. There, literally, we could list off dozens upon dozens of movies and books and whatnot, television shows. Altered Carbon on Netflix.
Yeah.
Really super cyberpunk.
Well, wasn't it like Black Mirror? Or?
I haven't watched any Black Mirror, but
that is weird stuff.
I've heard it's got some definite cyberpunk overtones.
Oh yeah, and Total Recall.
Yeah, but
Another one would be Fifth Element, but that's, you know, like far future.
That's cyberpunk. Yes, and it's kind of, but I don't know. We'd agree to disagree on that one. Point is, for Cyberpunk 2020, read William Gibson, but especially Neuromancer. I mean, there's Burning Chrome, and there he's got several other stories and books, but Neuromancer, right. You read that and you're like, yep, that's Cyberpunk 2020 right there. Mm-hmm. That is the everything is grim, everything is dark. Even when you're having a good day, things are pretty horrible kind of game. Well,
could I do a spoiler?
Please.
I just remember from that book where after all was said and done, and he got his that new organ that he needed to survive, he couldn't wait to get back to doing drugs. Because the cyber implant they put in to keep him alive neutralized all the effects of the drugs. So he was forced to be clean until the job was done. And then they gave him a brand new organ. I think it was his liver.
I don't remember.
Liver, kidney, something like that. But then he ended up, you know, like, woohoo, now I can do my drugs again.
it's some pretty dark stuff. But
oh, yeah.
still, I mean, we're not trying to drive you away from the game. If anything, it should make you more interested in checking the game out.
Oh, it is exceptionally dark. And if you're playing it as a bright and hopeful and happy kind of game, you're kind of missing the point.
You're doing it wrong.
No, as long as you're having fun, you're doing it right. But that's not the intended purpose. You can take a gun and you can beat someone to death with it. It still functioned. It still killed someone. But that's not the intended purpose.
Wasn't doing it right. And yeah, I mean, the thing is, though, if you just get the book, read it over, it's going to instill in you enough of the idea where you don't have to go out and do all this other stuff. Read these other books, watch these other movies. It'll make you want to, but in the end, it gives you everything you need right there. You don't need these extra source books. Just this one book. It's what?
Well,
it's got...
And if you read Neuromancer, and then you watch Johnny Mnemonic, you're going to realize what a steaming pile Johnny Mnemonic was.
Yeah.
Because it was supposed to have been based off of Neuromancer.
Well, no, it was supposed to be based off of Johnny Mnemonic. But they took a bunch of other things and just totally trashed it. But
I was told that they based it off of Neuromancer, and I was like, I don't get it. I don't see it.
Oh, no, the Neuromancer movie was supposed to have been made. They keep trying to make it. I keep hearing it's just a year or two away.
Uh-huh.
And then it gets reshelved because it's one of those books that would be really, really hard to make. Kind of like the Call of Cthulhu, the novella by H.P. Lovecraft. It finally did get made into a movie, but it had to be made a silent film, and it's only 40 minutes long, and a lot of people think it sucks, but it...
I was told a long time ago that Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep would never get made into a movie because it just wasn't popular enough.
Yeah.
And then they did, and it became a massive success.
Well, yes. Because they made a movie out of basically two chapters of the book.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of ignored the rest of it.
Yes.
So, yeah. The rest of it's kind of slow. I like the book. Don't get me wrong. The book's great. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not Philip K. Dick's best work. Although, great movie. And I loved the sequel. That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Anywho... Any other thoughts regarding Cyberpunk 2020?
No, not really. I thought there was more to talk about than there actually was.
Well, there is. I mean, we could have gone in depth into the skill system is so simple. I mean, you make a percentile check, and then I believe it was a percentile, just straight D10s.
I thought it was percentiles.
Yeah,
because almost everything in here is percentile.
Yeah, and the thing is, it just rolls, you know, boom, you make your attack. There's your damage. Go, 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 go. It's designed for just swift, quick moving action. Whereas in some games you could slog down Warhammer. You could spend 10, 12 hours trying to get through one adventure.
Mm-hmm.
2.5, 3 hours in Cyberpunk. It just goes. In fact, sometimes it goes a little too fast, and you're having to go, okay, hold on, I gotta get my shit together, hold on, take a break, guys. Get my notes in order.
Actually, if you look at the, just for, you know, comedy's sake, if you go through a future history timeline, you know, it goes through, you know, the year 2000, it goes from 1990 all the way up to 2020.
Yeah.
And this year, we're supposed to have an orbital colony revolt at L3. Yeah.
You know, theoretically, they could rework the timeline, add 20 years to it, and we'd still end up in the same place. But that's getting political, and we don't do that here. We'll curse, but we don't get political. Anyway, gotta close. Till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you got this far. I'm impressed. Also, if you decided to play the drinking game, please get yourself to a hospital right away. No human should ever drink that much alcohol. If you actually enjoyed this travesty of a podcast, please drop by our website at scoreme.com, which could inspire a drinking game of its own.